Today, we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shviyos with lesson number 24. Today, we will conclude the fifth perek. We will learn the ninth Mishnah of the fifth perek. And we will begin the very interesting sixth perek with the first Mishnah of the sixth perek. So we're learning Perek Chamishi Mishnah Tes and Perek Shishi Mishnah Aleph. The last Mishnah of the fifth Perek is also to be found, the same Mishnah, in Maseches Gittin, in the middle of a discussion which goes on for several dapim in Maseches Gittin, in Perek HaNizokin, discussing things which are permitted because of Darchei Shalom, things which are would have been prohibited midrabbanon, but are permitted in the interests of peace with neighbors, with other religions, with, what should we say, less observant Jews, etc. But there are limits to that, Darchei Shalom. And we have been learning how it is prohibited to lend utensils or tools or various other kinds of instruments, animals for plowing, to someone who is less observant, who is chashud al hashviyas, who is not careful in his observance or her observance of the mitzvos connected to shviyas. So our Mishnah begins continuing with that theme and says that although in the previous several Mishnayos we have listed various tools, etc., which cannot be sold or lent to a person who is chashud al hashviyas. In this case, a woman can lend to another woman who is chashuda al hashviyas, who is not observant about shviyas and is suspect to violate various laws of shviyas. She can nevertheless lend her the following instruments. Masheles isha lachaverto hachashudo al hashviyas. This woman who is chashudo, is chashudo that perhaps what she does is, although one is supposed to eliminate from one's home those peros which have passed the time of biur, meaning, as we will see later, more details about biur. But there's a time in the year of Shviyas after which the species, certain species, are no longer to be found outdoors. Kol olachayo min hasodeh, wild animals will not find those species out there to eat. So from that point on, begins the requirement of biur, which according to most Rishonim means all the Baal Habayis or the Baalas Habayis must take all of that species that remains in their own kitchen and take it outside and declare it Hefker, after which others can come and use that food. And as we suggested earlier briefly, we'll get into it in more detail, the owner himself or herself can reclaim from Hefker that food. But this woman who is chashud al hashviyas doesn't bother with all that, biur, and instead keeps peros in her kitchen past the time that biur is required. So one might think that you can't lend her utensils which are involved in food preparation. However, our Mishnah says that because of Darkei Shalom, you want to have decent relations between these two neighbors, this woman who observes Shviyas all the way, and this woman who is Chashud al HaShviyas. So the woman who's observant can lend to the other woman, the Chashudah, Nofa, Nafa is a sifter, which is used to sift flour. Uchevora, chevora is a type of a strainer, which is used to cleanse seeds of grain out of the kernels of grain, which one wants to eat. Verechayim, and a mill, obviously this is a hand mill. Vitanur, and an oven to bake in. Even though these are all the kalim, tools which are used for food preparation, but we assume that this woman will not be using them for purposes, foods which are prohibited during Shviyas, but about using them for proper foods which are appropriate to be used during the year of Shviyas. So here we're talking about the permissibility of lending these various utensils. However, the observant woman is prohibited from actually actively getting involved with the food preparation. Ava lo tovor, the observant woman should not sift herself tfuah and peros from the pisoles. If she has a bunch of apples and the apples are stuck together with leaves and dirt and rocks and sticks and stones, to do the process of breira, of borer, would be actively involving oneself with this isha hachashuda. V'lo titchanimo, nor can she be involved in the grinding of the food, because here she is involving herself directly in the preparation of food, which may very well be prohibited during Shavuos. Number one. Number two, and here we move away from the inyan of Shavuos, and that is an eshes chover, a woman whose husband and family and she herself are very strict and careful about two important areas of halacha. One is ma'asros, tithing, giving the proper ma'aser, number one. And number two, the laws of tahara, of being careful that things not become tomei and making sure that everything remains tahor. So such a woman who's an eshes chaver is permitted, masheles, is permitted to lend le'eshes am ha'oretz, to a woman from this other group of Jews who are known as amei ha'oretz, who are not careful in ma'asros, and who are, in certain cases, just coming into contact with food, they or their kalim render the food tomei in certain instances. So the eshes chover is permitted to lend to the eshes am ha'oretz. This is talking about any year, not just Shviyas. Napa uchevora, the sifter and the strainer. Most mefarshim say that they can also lend, an eshes chover can also lend to an eshes am ha'oretz rechayim v'tanur, a mill, a hand mill, and an oven. Whereas there's a Tosfos in Maseches Gittin Daf Samach Aleph that says, no, the Mishnah is very specifically permitting only Nafa Uchvora, but not Tanur V'Reichayim, for reasons that we won't go into here. You can consult, look in the Meforshim, the Tiferes Yisroel, on this Mishnah, or look in the Tosfos in Maseches Gittin Daf Samach Aleph. However, and here's the interesting thing, that although in the case of Shviyas, the Isha could not actually be involved in the process of the food preparation with the Chashudol HaShviyas, here the Eshes Chover can be involved in those procedures. Uvoreres, she can be involved in selecting and sifting food. Vitochenes, and she can grind food down with the Eshes Am Ha'oretz. Umerkedes Simo, and she can be involved in the process of sifting as well. And we're not concerned in this case that, hey, after all, is she not being involved in the preparation of food with someone who is not careful about Maaser? And therefore she is helping an Ovre Avera, in this case an Overes Avera. We're not concerned about that, as we will see, because of Darkei Shalom. Because we want to be able to have people from the Chover class and people from the Am Ha'aretz class live together in peace and help each other out. However, says the Mishnah, Avol, Mishetatil Hamayim, Once the Eishes Am Ha'oretz has poured water into the flower, Lo Tiga Etzlo, then the Eishes Chover must not touch the flour, the dough, along with the Eishes Am Ha'oretz. There, because She'ein Machazik in Yidei Ovrei Haveiro. Because by helping her roll the dough, taking after the water has been added to flour, the next step is to roll the dough, Gilgul Ha'isa. The problem is that when the water is added to the flour, so the water is machshir the flour to be mekabel tuma. From this point on, this dough is susceptible to tuma. Once the actual rolling of the dough takes place, that dough is mechuyav in the mitzvah of challah, of separating challah from the dough. At this point, if the Eishes Chover remains involved in kneading and rolling the dough, kneading, K-N-E-A-D-I-N-G, kneading the dough, she is helping the Eishes Am Ha'oretz bring tuma to the challah. Why? Because the Am Ha'oretz and his wife and their kelim are metame food midrabbonon, the special gzeirah midrabbonon on the Am Ha'oretz who coming in contact with him, or in this case with her, renders the food tame. So therefore, the Eishes Chover cannot continue to work and help this Eishes Am Ha'oretz with that procedure of kneading and rolling the dough. Because of the principle that we've been learning for the past two Mishnayos of Ein Machzik in Yidei Ovrei Aveiro. So here we see a rather complex situation. In certain cases, it's permissible for the Eishes Chover to help the Eishes Am Ha'oretz. She can even lend her a napa on a chavora, and according to most of Rechayim B'Tanur also, and she can be boreres v'tochenes v'rokedes imo. Why are all these things permitted? Says the Mishnah, V'chulon lo amru, in all these cases, the reason why the Chachamim were so lenient and allowed one to lend to an Am Ha'oretz various kelim and to help them as long as you aren't directly in contact with food which is susceptible to tumah, is only Elom Ibnei Darkei Sholom. It's only in order to, as much as possible, despite the various stringencies, to be as much as possible allow for a society which where people live in a neighborly fashion in peace, Darkei Sholom. The Mishnah concludes with words that we actually had before in the fourth parak in the third Mishnah there. Same words, same idea. Umachazik in Yidei Goyim Bashvius. It's permissible if a goy owns a field in Eretz Yisrael and one sees him working in the field, it's permissible to wish him hatzlacha. Because after all, he is not obligated to keep the laws of Shvius. He's not Jewish. Abalo Yidei Yisrael. If there's a Jewish person who's violating the principles of Shvius and is working his field on Shvius, to pass by and say to him, I wish you success in your work, Yashikoyach, that you can't do. Vishoalin Bishlomon. It's permissible to greet, to welcome, to be friendly with Goyim all year long. Also, Mipnei Darkei Sholom. We learned the details of this back in the fourth perek. The reason why it's repeated here is because the first half of the Mishnah is part of a Mishnah Meseches Gittin. There in Meseches Gittin, in the fifth perek of Meseches Gittin, we are dealing with all types of leniencies, Bibnei Darkei Sholom. So therefore, this piece is repeated so that these two Mishnayos, the one in the Shvius Perakei, and the one in Gittin, also Perakei, are exactly consistent with each other. So we've now finished the fifth Perak, and we move on to the sixth Perak. The coming Mishnah, which we're about to learn, is an exceedingly difficult one for various reasons. We're going to follow the approach taken by Rav Kahati, Pinchas Kahati, whose edition in Hebrew of the Mishnayos is absolutely revolutionary. It brought the study of Mishnayos to a much larger group of people than those who traditionally learnt Mishnayos. He is really one of the heroic Jewish educators of the 20th century, Pinchas Kahati, Zichrono Livrocho. And he, in turn, bases a lot of his approach to this Mishnah upon the works of Rav Agon Rav Shaul Yisraeli, Zecher Tzadik Livrocho, especially Rav Yisraeli's Sefer called Eretz Chemda, in which he deals with many, many issues relating to mitzvos hatluyos ba'oretz, relating to the agricultural laws of the land of Israel. Interestingly enough, in the original Kahati Mishnayos, and maybe that's not even been changed in the more updated editions, I'm not sure, but in the edition I have before me, which was published in the lifetime of both Pinchas Kahati and Harav Yisraeli, they were both alive. So Kahati refers to Rav Shaul Yisraeli as a Rav Yisraeli Shalita with the Birchas Achayim, because he was then still alive. In any case, so we're going to follow that approach, although I mentioned to you there are many other approaches to this Mishnah. The basic introduction that I have to give to this Mishnah is the obvious one, and that is that the mitzvah of Shviyas only applies in the land of Eretz Yisrael. As the Pasuk says very clearly in the beginning of Parshas Behar, Kisavou el ha'oretz asher ani nosein lochem v'shofso ha'oretz shabos l'shem. It's specifically limited to Eretz Yisrael. It's one of those mitzvos hatluyos ba'oretz, which is noheges only ba'oretz, only in Eretz Yisrael. Question is, of course, still a question in today's society, today's international state, and that is, what is Eretz Yisrael and what is not Eretz Yisrael? What are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael? So our mission is not talking about international law and modern politics, etc. It's talking about the laws of Shemitah of Shviyas. And with reference to the laws of Shemitah of Shviyas, it depends. The Torah does give boundaries to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and they're spelled out very clearly in Parshas Maaseh. However, I shouldn't say very clearly, because exactly where those places are, those place names are, which are mentioned in Tanakh, in the Chumash, are also subject to the debate among scholars, geography, etc. But the basic rule that we're concerned with here is this. When the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, they conquered a certain percentage of that large expanse of land, which is listed in the Chumash, but not all of it. Then, of course, we were sent into Golus Bavel, but we returned from Bavel. When we returned from Bavel, the Olei Bavel did not recapture, not only did not recapture all of the land, the large territory which is spelled out in the Chumash, but they didn't even conquer all of the land which the Olei Mitzrayim conquered centuries before. So our mission is going to tell us basically that the laws of Shviyas in full apply only to those territories conquered by the Olei Bavel, and not to those additional ones which were conquered by Olei Mitzrayim. So, the Mishnah says, Shalosh Arotzos L'Shviyas. There are three different regions with reference to Shviyas. Kol Shehechaziku Olei Bavel, every part of the land of Eretz Yisrael, which was held by those who came out of Bavel, meaning in the north boundary, the northwest boundary of Eretz Yisrael, Me'eretz Yisrael, from the body of Eretz Yisrael, V'ad Kiziv, until the place called Kiziv, and Kiziv is the town mentioned in Yehoshua as Achziv, Aleph Chof Zion Yud Beis, and it is identified today with a town north of Akko along the coast, northwest coast of Eretz Yisrael. So up until but not including Chziv is bona fide Eretz Yisrael. Chziv itself was never conquered by the Olei Bavel. So everything below Chaziv and south, and the other parts of bona fide Eretz Yisrael, which were conquered by the Olei Bavel, have the full halacha of Shvius. And therefore, lo ne'echal, crops which grow there cannot be eaten. We'll see what that means in a moment. Velo ne'evad, nor can you work the land of those regions. Now, what does it mean, lo ne'echal? You can't eat them. We've learned that you can eat peros which grow on Shvius, but they're subject to certain restrictions, to Kedushas Shvius, to Biur, to Gzeras Svichin, etc. So here we have various approaches among the classic Meforshei HaMishnah. The Rash says that when it says Lo Ne'echal, we mean everything which grows during Shvius, even peros, apples, grapes, whatever, cannot be eaten in bona fide central Eretz Yisrael, south of Chaziv, after the Zman HaBiur, unless the mitzvah of Biur is done. And we explained briefly earlier what Biur means. The time comes when the permission to eat the fruits of Shvius is no longer in effect, because those fruits are no longer available, so to speak, to animals, wild animals out in the fields. And therefore, one must be mevaer, one must perform the mitzvah of biur, and remove from one's home those peros which one has in one's home, and declare them hefker, and then others can partake in those fruits. But if biur is not performed, then you can't eat those peros which grew on Shvius. This is how the Rash explains, lo ne'echal, can't be eaten. Others learn that we mean not be eaten unless one observes the Kedusha Shvius. They can be eaten, but they can't be traded, lo'achla v'lo l'schora. They can't be put to waste, lo'achla v'lo l'hefsid. They can be eaten, but lo ne'echal, under conditions which don't conform to Kedusha Shvius. That's the second approach to lo ne'echal. The Rambam, in Hilchos Shmita Yovel Perek Dalid, says lo ne'echal means we're speaking here about the Isur of Sefichim, which we already explained to you, that min ha-Torah, everything which grows during Shvius, whether it is grapes and figs, or whether it is wheat and barley, can be eaten during Shemitah, with subject to the laws of Kedusha Shvius and the laws of Biur. However, the Rabbanon made a gzera, a very powerful gzera, against things which grow during Shvius, called Svichim, meaning unlike apples and grapes and olives, etc., which grow every year, including Shvius, not because they were planted during Shvius, but because that's what trees produce every year. On them, there's no Isur Svichim. But on wheat and barley, and other grains and kidneys, vegetables, etc., that happen to sprout by themselves during Shemitah, are also because of Gzeras Svichim. Gzeras Svichim means Svichim themselves would be mutar. However, because it's possible that someone would say, what do you mean? These weren't planted by me, these are Svichim, and really he's planting them themselves, so there's a Gzera against Svichim. So the Rambam says, when we say Lo Ne'echal, we mean that the Gzera of Svichim applies in the regions south of Kziv in the Ikor Eretz Yisrael. V'lo ne'avad means simply that those lands, those farms which are within the borders of Olei Bovel's Eretz Yisrael, there you cannot do the types of work that are prohibited during Shvius. So that's one category of territory. The Mishnah continues, V'chol shehecheziku olei Mitzrayim, all those territories which were occupied by olei Mitzrayim, in other words, Yehoshua conquered those lands, which those lands are more extensive than the conquests of olei Bovel. And we define what that means in that northwest corner. Mechaziv, from Chaziv, and northwards, Ad Hanohor, until the river, Ad Amona, and until Amona. We will come back to define what where those areas are on the map. But let's now conceptually continue and understand the Mishnah is saying, in this Eretz, this region, number two, of Shehecheziku Olei Mitzrayim, Ne'echol Avalo Ne'avad. There, whatever grows there can be eaten. According to the Rambam, there's no Isur Svichim. And there's no requirement of eating them b'kedusha shvius. And there's no requirement of biur in those distant lands of that were captured by Olei Mitzrayim. A'avalo ne'evat. But you can't work there. Then there is a third area, and that is min ha'nohor u'me'yamona v'lifnim. That is inside, meaning we would maybe say better outside, beyond, let's translate that, beyond the Nohor and Amona, beyond the river and Amona, that's a third territory which was not conquered by Olei Bovel. And it was not even conquered by Olei Mitzrayim. So that's foreign territory. That's the land of Turkey or Greece or Cyprus. There, ne'echol v'ne'evad, whatever grows there is fine to eat. There's no restrictions of shvius on food which grows in Kansas. V'ne'evad, and it's permissible to work the land in Kansas or Turkey or Greece, any place which is beyond Nohor and Amona. Now, that piece is that aspect what I've explained so far is relatively easy to understand. The laws of shvius apply in full where the Olei Bovel settled. They apply only partially in those regions which were not captured by Olei Bovel, but only by Olei Mitzrayim. There's Ne'echal, Avalo Ne'evad. And then, of course, beyond those boundaries, we're talking about foreign countries, not Eretz Yisrael. Everything is permissible. The question is, when we say here that the Olei Mitzrayim settled the land above Akko, including Kiziv, all the way until the river and Amona. What river are we talking about, and where is this Amona? So, the standard Meforshim here, the Rash and the Bartanura say, it's the river, it's some river up in the north of Eretz Yisrael. Horav Yisraeli Zatzal, in his classic work, Eretz Chemda, Rabbi Yisraeli was a person, Baruch Hashem, many people are alive today who are his Talmidim. So he passed away some years ago, but his work is extremely important. So he explains that the Mishnah is referring to a small little river in the north of Eretz Yisrael, way in the north of Eretz Yisrael, called Kasamia. This river descends from the mountains of Lebanon and flows from north to south, and then makes a sharp turn westward and ends in the Mediterranean Sea. That is the river that we're talking about. It is north of Ksiv, way in the north of what is today Eretz Yisrael, near the border of the today's border with Lebanon. Amona would be the Har Amona, which is among the mountains in the range of the Horei Halvonon, in that mountain range, which is also known as Turei Amnon in the Gemara, in the Mishnayos, and elsewhere, and is called in the Chumash, in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Dalet, Posek Zayin, Hor Hohor. The Posek says, V'ze Yihyeh Lochem Gevul Tzafon, Min Hayom HaGadol Tiso Lochem Hor Hohor. Hor Hohor, the Targum Yerushalmi translates Hor Hohor as Turei Amnon. This is not the same Hor Hohor where Aharon died, which is in the south of Eretz Yisrael, near the boundary with Edom. So, the territory which extends beyond Akko northward from Kiziv and including Kiziv until this river called Kasamya, until the boundary, the mountain in the north called Har Havona, there, whatever grows there can be eaten. It's mutter. There's no zman habir. There's no kedusha shviyas. There's no gzeras svichen, because that land, because we follow the principle of kedusha rishona kiddusha l'shato, the kedusha rishona, the sanctity to the land, which was imposed upon the land by the conquest of Yahushua ole Mitzrayim, is lo kitcho la'asid lavo, is not permanent. So therefore, achila in that territory is permissible. But lavolo ne'evad, but to do avodas hakarka would be usher there midrabonon. Fine. So now we have explained, hopefully, these three regions and how they differ. Ole Bovel is 100% Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of Shvius. Ole Mitzrayim ne'echal v'lo ne'evad. And of course, anything beyond this Nahor, which we've identified as Kasamiya, following Rav Yisraeli, and Amona, a mountain in the mountain range of Levonon, is absolutely no longer Eretz Yisrael, and therefore permissible to do all sorts of agricultural activity there. Again, this is one approach to this Mishnah into all the geographical issues. There are many other approaches. Say ulamad. Now we have completed lesson number 24.